Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Center and also doctor with Providence Valdez Medical Center. Thanks for joining us once again. And I know you don't have a lot of time today because you're at work, but we will, this is part of your work, and actually a lot of things have become part of your work with COVID. But we did want to touch base with you again on vaccines here in Valdez. We know the first round went out, and you're gearing up now, right, for the second shot. Is that correct?
Right. So the federal government, in working with the states, comes up with, you know, what the recommendation. Well, the federal government comes up with the recommendations on who's in which tier, and then the states are given those mandates so that it's even between the states, and then the states get to implement those in the way that works best for them. Different in places with giant hospitals evenly spaced than it is in Alaska, for instance. So the state then says to the locals, this is who you can vaccinate, and then it's up to the locals to vaccinate that population. So, for instance, in 1A, which is health professionals and long-term care, people in group long-term care settings, that has actually been divided into three tiers in Alaska because there wasn't enough vaccine to do that whole group all at once. So tier 1A and 1B are probably being finished up today in Valdez. That is, they didn't want to do all the nurses at once just in case everybody, had to call in sick because they felt like they had the flu. That didn't happen, but they didn't want to do that. So anyway, they've done people in thirds. Today is the last third of those people. And then then next week, those of us who got the very first round are due for our 3 week later one. And then also they're doing 1Cs, who are the people who are the EVS, the environmental services people, who are doing the laundry and the cleaning the rooms. People who are in practices that don't have any emergency room. So in Anchorage, your cancer doctor may finally get their vaccination, for instance. So the community groups, and they're going to have a sign up in online for anybody that might be missed in Anchorage. Anchorage, they kind of have to do it that way. But here, I think Terry Lynch, the public health nurse, has been involved in locating all the people that probably fit in that tier. But if you think you are in that tier, that as of noon today, they're going to have an online sign-up thing up and running. It's not up and running as of a few minutes ago, I checked, but at the DHSS site. And so I bet that that's how they're going to do the tiers after this, which will be elders, people with medical conditions, whatever. I think I bet that they're going to get this online thing going with the tier three people in 1A and get it activated before we have even bigger groups to vaccinate.
Well, then here locally, who manages that information?
Well, they had a meeting yesterday of the committee that's in charge of that. So there's some key city people. I think Tracy, the fire chief, is the head of that. But Allie Furco, who's the voice of the city, for instance, the public health nurse, there's a separate allocation through the Native Health Service. So somebody from VNT is on that committee. I think there's one of us medical people on it. Anyway, it's the people. Oh, and a representative of the hospital. So it's who you would expect. That when they say, oh, and you're going to get this many doses of vaccine next week, or we have to ask for how many doses of vaccine we want for next week. That's actually how it goes. We have local people deciding what to do with the allocation that we get and what to ask for.
And I was going to ask you about that, Kathy. It seems that because the information about who's getting this vaccine has come down from the state, that and tell me if I'm wrong, we've largely stayed out of the politicalness of the vaccine and who gets it thus far. It's been pretty clear and not a lot of...
There is very, very unlikely to be any mandate ever saying you have to get this vaccine. So these are all volunteers. Even among the people at the hospital, it's not like, oh, you're a nurse here, you have to get the vaccine. That's not happening. So these are all people who want to get the vaccine, and, you know, as soon as there's enough vaccine, they'll go on to the next tier. I'm not trying to hold it back from anybody. At the state level and before that at the national level, who's getting it when as science behind it. That is, we don't want to be giving it to anybody that it might harm. So, for instance, pregnant women that weren't tested, and so now there's guidance on should pregnant women who are nurses, for instance, be included or not. What about kids? What about people with immunocompromise? Whatever. So there's the science behind who should get it and who shouldn't. And then there's the what's fair and equitable. You don't want to be giving it just to people who can afford it because they have great insurance. That's not fair or equitable. So it's going to be free for everybody. I mean, it's not free. It's paid for by other sources. There's no money out of your pocket to go get a vaccine. I guess there's some stories of people paying, you know, $25,000 to be at the front of the line. I hope they quash that because it's not fair and it's not even reasonable. And then there's society things that get in there. That is, I think we mentioned before, that why are we doing long-term care people? Maybe they would give up their shot to somebody who's a little bit younger. But if it gets into a long-term care facility and you get half the people infected all at once, it just puts a total strain on the medical system because those people, you know, two-thirds of them might survive, but they're going to take up a ventilator for a whole month, whereas maybe you could have treated 10 people who aren't very sick who are middle-aged with the same resources. So keeping those people from using all the resources actually benefits everybody. So there's all those kinds of considerations have been dealt with at a state level. And then when we get the vaccine, we just have to figure out how to get it to the right people.
Yeah, and I can imagine when you're looking at Valdez, it's a little easier maybe to find the people. And it was definitely in the first round easy to find the healthcare workers. Exactly. There's been a lot of communication and structure set up to communicate back and forth between the CDC and the government and the healthcare workers throughout this. But as expected, I think it'll be a little more difficult to get a hold of the general population and get that information out. So it'll be interesting to see. I think maybe easier here, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how you get a hold of people just in a general sense in the rest of the U.S.
Yeah, and even here, I have people saying, well, is there a list that I should put my name on? And I couldn't go check out that site because it's not operational until noon today. But my guess is it's going to be something like that, which will still exclude people who don't really do computers very well. But if it's like the other computer things that they've been putting out, it's actually quite good. But I don't know whether Valdez will be included in that or whether it's going to be something separate for us. It's also up to the local how to make sure that people come back for their second injection at the right time, getting the right vaccine, because you have to get the same brand twice.
So that'll be Valdez Unified Command's job to kind of keep track of the tiers and who's gotten the vaccine and when their second, managing the second shot. Is that?
Yeah. So, you know, they gave me a card when I got my first shot that says, you know, come back between these days. And I know I'm going to go back to the hospital because that's who's doing things at the moment. But there will be, you know, clinics set up, point of dispensing, we call them pods, is like what we've done with the flu vaccine before. So if we say, okay, well, here we're going to do a bunch of diabetics on this day in this place. If you want to sign up, go on the computer or call this number or whatever it's going to be in Valdez. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly because nobody knows exactly what it's going to be yet. And this is when we're going to have the vaccine, you know, show up if you're interested, but it'll be appointments because of this wanting to make sure that we monitor people for side effects. It won't be drive through, go home. It will be sit around for 15 minutes. So they're trying to space people out so that people aren't in huge long lines and contacting each other too much.
Yeah, and you'll be in the loop on that, I would assume, because, of course, healthcare workers will administer the shots, or are there plans, I know, in other places where they have it at a pharmacy or something that's happening?
Yeah, well, it has to be people who have trained to give shots. So the pharmacists in most pharmacies now have, you know, Tara and Beth both give shots at our local pharmacy. And eventually, when we're not, you know, still having limited vaccine, eventually it will be at your doctor's office. Oh, I need to go get a tetanus shot. Oh, I need to go get a COVID shot. Or at the pharmacy, same thing. You can get your shingle shot or get your COVID shot eventually. But in Alaska in particular, I think that we're going to go with those pods for a while because of, once you thaw a vial of 5, you got to use that vial within a while. And in maybe the CVS pharmacy in downtown Manhattan gets plenty of people, but I would hate to have it wasted. So,
Yeah.
So we're going to take appointments and say, okay, got 5 people who want to get it, you know, that sort of thing. So it will get more and more diffuse as to how and when you can get it as we get more and more vaccine.
And as you mentioned, it is a little hinkier because you have to, you know, wait for 15 minutes and kind of watch. But can we follow up on Valdez and any side effects? I know we had a couple major side effects in Alaska, but it seemed like we had 2 of the 3 or something when it
yeah, it was something amazing. Like, I think we had half of the ones in the country.
Yeah,
but I have not heard of any more at all. So maybe you have.
Yeah, I haven't watched it that much, but I don't. I think they have. There have been, but I don't know what to believe anymore. To be quite honest with you, when you're perusing news.
Well, the state website that comes to doctors that I think anybody can get, but the one that gets sent to me didn't mention any problems ongoing. So I think that was a one of those statistical flukes about the anaphylaxis in, because we certainly didn't have any here. We had some people with some really sore arms and some people that went, huh? Like, what? You sure you didn't give me placebo? I didn't get anything, but.
And I thought that was interesting. You mentioned last time that the older you are, probably the less reaction you might get.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because that probably means your immunity isn't quite as good. But yeah, and I think that that's not just Valdez data. Our data would be way too small to do that. But nationally, they're seeing that there's fewer reactions, like feeling like you've got a fever and the flu and whatever. That's the immune reaction to the vaccine, and the elders are not getting that as much as the younger people.
All right, so that's your body trying to fight back. Is what actually gives you those side effects. So that was an interesting point last week, and I've had a couple people bring that up as well. Found that interesting. So, so from here, what does it look like? I know I don't know that they're at exactly the projection of vaccines that they had anticipated. Any word on that? And then the whole next, I guess you call it, I don't know, is the next group of people who get the shot, is that what we're calling a round, the next round?
Yes, there's tiers within, like I just said, there's tier 1, 2, and 3 within the 1As. So we're going to be starting on 1Bs here pretty soon after we finish the 1As, which is the rest of the people who are high risk for contacting COVID, the people who are doing testing, the people who are, cleaning up after all of us, the people in offices where maybe you could postpone the visit, but not for forever.
And Kathy, you have the supply for that? I guess that was what I was asking.
Yes, I think that the supply for the next round is going to be available. They specifically are going to have enough to do the second shots that are supposed to happen 21 days after the first shot. And I think that, yes, we're being able to get to our... we actually don't have a lot of Tier 3 people because, like all the physicians, for instance, work in the ER and in their office. So we don't have any purely office-based physicians that would be in tier three, for instance. So we kind of don't have as big a tier three as some other places do.
All right. And then vaccine seems to be the big talk of the day, but how is hospital care and medicine in general going here in Valdez? Are things getting back to normal, still all a little crazy? I know, busy still.
Well, Valdez is a small enough place that things go in spurts. You know, if you add two patients to us, we're really busy, and you take them away, we're really quiet. And that's just the way it is with small numbers. We have had no active cases coming into the hospital recently at all, which is great. If you look at the numbers in Anchorage, they're going down. And so hopefully they're going to get a little bit, you know, if you look at the number of new cases in Anchorage, it's way down, but it takes people a while to get sick enough to end up in the hospital. And if they're in the hospital, it takes them a while to, you know, either get worse or go home. And so everything lags. So I'm not saying that the hospital isn't super busy still, but hopefully they can keep that trend going. We may have a little blurb here, hopefully only a little blurb after Christmas, because there were probably a lot of people who said, I just have to go see my mother. And so they were doing groups. So
they might enjoy a little pause, though, because, of course, the everything follows the line, right? So if it's been down for a little while here, might mean a couple of weeks down the road, they'll have a you know, that'll reflect in hospital stay. So hopefully that just stays down indefinitely.
Yeah, hopefully they, you know, they get a pause. And the other thing that it would be good about a pause is that we're told that your immune reaction to the second vaccine is going to be more than the first, right? I mean, that's what you want, is the second one really gets you a good immune response. So if there are more people calling out saying, I just can't work today because I've got a fever or I'm achy all over and I can hardly stand up, you know, if that didn't really happen much with the first round, but it might with the second round. And so if your staff are out on sick leave because of the vaccine for a day or two, which is all it is, but still, if they can't work for a day or two and you're absolutely maxed out at your hospital, that doesn't work. So it'll be nice if this pause continues for forever. That would be the best. But at least if it's while everybody's getting vaccinated, that would be good.
All right. Well, I know you've got a busy day today, so I'll let you go. But I, as always, appreciate you coming on the air and sharing the latest update.
Thank you for having me.